Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you are UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Darren Stakey on the line with me, singer, songwriter, producer, and an attorney. So he has a single out, a Christmas single, Don't Light the Lights on the Tree Without Me. Say hello, Darren, to the people.
Hi, Nigeria, great to be with you. Darren Stakey here, so excited about my new single, Don't Light the Lights on the Tree Without Me.
How did you come up with the title of the song?
That's a great question. So Don't Light the Lights on the Tree Without Me almost started as a poem. Mm. Every Christmas, I always look forward to lighting the lights with my family. It's sort of a thing that starts off the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting back thinking all of the Christmas rituals and the things that make this holiday season special. And my favorite thing is lighting the lights. Uh-huh. And it started to click in my head, you know, don't light the lights on the tree without me. That's what makes a house a home.
Yeah.
It's what makes strangers family. Mm. And the next thing I knew, that rhyme sort of stuck with me. It became, what do they call it, sort of like an earwig. It just was playing in my head. And the next thing you know, here comes this brand new Christmas single.
Now, I love putting up the lights. I don't like taking them down.
you know. Said that right, Nigeria.
Yeah.
I sort of dispense with the outdoor life, keep it all inside the house, keep the love inside.
Right. How did you get interested in music?
Music's been a part of my life since I could remember. My mom used to sit me in the rocker while she was singing with the choir in church.
Mm.
So I've always been surrounded by music. My Aunt Caroline sang at Carnegie Hall when she was young, and it was sort of a dream of mine to grow up and sing there someday, too. And I was blessed enough to be able to have that opportunity, and that was very early on in my career. I started with classical training and singing opera and learning the piano, and then picked up the woodwinds and the flute and the clarinet and the guitar for traveling so you could play on the beach. And I'm sort of just the jack of all trades with the instruments. Something about music just clicks with me. It makes sense. The frequencies just vibe with me.
Right.
And I just have a natural inclination to it. So music's always been a part of my life. And as I've grown and become a professional, music has just been so integral. It just keeps getting more and more central to who I am and what I'm about.
Now, do you get teased by being an attorney and a musician?
You know, I get some funny things. You know, the singing attorney. Being a lawyer is an amazing thing because you see everything different.
Right.
There's law for street signs. There's law for the way trees should grow, for the way we should use space, for the way we can speak and what sort of restrictions on the time, place, and manner of our communications and our expression. Law sort of hugs every aspect of our life, which I didn't realize until I became a lawyer. Mm. And in fact, I became a lawyer to help accentuate my music career because I realized that as I was entering into record contracts and negotiating deals, that it's impossible to try to be informed without knowing the legal doctrines that why are the terms of this deal this way. Mm. So I went to law school to sort of flesh that out and understand it. And then when I did, I fell in love with the law in a different way. It's different, but it's definitely analogous to the way I love music and the way I think. It helps you understand the world.
Yes. Did it help you when you were signed with Warner?
Yeah, well, that was before I became an attorney and was part of the impetus for me to say, you know what, I better go back. I better hit the books, know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Because, yes,
you know, they don't play around at the higher levels, you
right.
know, the... And it makes sense, but, you know, your bargaining position, like everything in life, you have to, you know, I mean, when you come in as an independent artist and just starting out in the game, and then you, all of a sudden, you're dealing with, like, Warner Brothers or BMG or, you know, these big, massive companies that have done so much in the industry, and here you are just a, you know, an individual trying to deal with them. I've always sort of had the inclination towards arguments and when I was a kid they said, oh, you know, you'll make a good lawyer or a politician someday. Mm. You know, I'm always working the angles.
Right.
I'm from New York, you know.
Yes, so sir.
That's how we do out here.
Facts. So looking back now on your contract with Warner, knowing what you know now, was it a good contract or a bad contract?
Warner Brothers did right by me. They're a great organization, and I had a wonderful relationship while I was signed with them. I would say that I was proud of that deal, and it was a very successful. It was a profitable deal for them and me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you grow, you build up in the industry, you get acumen and knowledge and build up your skill set, and then you have a new negotiation.
Right.
So, yeah, that was one of the great first steps in my career.
How did that help you, that contract and working with that large organization, help you when you began to launch your own independent label?
It helped so much. Gave me a real sense of all of the different aspects. You know, the music is forward-facing. You see the artist. Mm-hmm. You hear the music coming out. But generally, as just a member of the listening public, you don't stop and think of all the steps that it took to get that music to your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the PR, the A&R, the work in the records, the just even pre- and post-production. There's just so many steps that are involved with it. Mm-hmm. And that deal with Warner was sort of the first foray for me into seeing how the industry actually works.
Right.
I'm also coming up in a time where I don't have to tell you, Nigeria, the music industry has changed so much.
Yes.
The way the paradigms that existed 20 years ago is polar opposite to the way it is today. So I was able to deal with Warner at a time where the memories of what the music industry used to be like were still there, were mm-hmm. still very present in mind. And so I got some of that old school flavor, if
yes,
you will, at that
yes,
time.
Yes.
And then music went sort of like in the dark ages, right? I mean, artists have been undervalued with their work. It was sort of kind of a hard period to go through, especially after you switch from the ability to put out CDs and do things to where people were downloading for free. And now we're at the point where downloading from platforms and streaming, it's still, frankly, a little bit undervaluing the artist, but there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay.
We can see with new legislation that was passed, with acquisitions of catalogs that are happening now, you can see that music is on the come up. It's going, the artists are being valued again, recognized for their talent. I think there's so many great talents that are coming out now and being recognized for the special gifts they're giving to society, and that they're really changing what popular culture is and dictating its progression, putting it into a new way. And all of that wraps up into, you know, my understanding, my evolution at the same time, concurrently with the evolution of music. So it's like I feel very blessed and excited to have been in to see the old school and hand the baton off to the new school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why the impetus for me to start my own label, Wildwood Productions, LLC, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is find great artists and support and develop them in a way that gives love to the old style of A&R and artist development, but without all of the strictures of the 360 deals that are coming now, where artists have to sort of give away their whole livelihood,
right,
and give a piece of everything they do.
Right.
Basically, my idea with the label, although I had good contracts and I'm very happy with the decisions I made, there were also things that I found somewhat unpalatable, some things that I wish I could have negotiated if I had the bargaining power. So my idea with Wildwood Productions is, hey, let me fix everything I saw was wrong. Let me accentuate everything I thought was good, and let me give new artists the opportunities that I wish I had when I was starting out.
Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Kudos to you. Now, what style of music?
Thanks. And kudos to you. Urban Buzz Magazine, I think what you guys are doing up in the Bronx, you're killing it.
Thank you. Kudos
to you.
Thank you so much. It's just great finding key players like you. And that's why we always say we are where key players speak. I mean, the gems that you're dropping is definitely going to educate the listener. What's your style of music?
You know, I always loved two styles. And my whole vibe has been sort of to combine them and to figure out a way to, you know, make my own unique voice through it. And those two styles are rock and hip hop.
Okay.
When it comes to rock, I've always had an affinity for the Beatles and 60s, early 70s, that style where rock was itself becoming defined. I like modern rap too, but I kind of like the old school stuff. I gotta keep it real with you. I mean, my guy is KRS-One.
Right.
He's such an inspiration, such a wordsmith. I don't know that everybody sees it. To me, the parallels between the development of rap in, let's say, like late 80s through the mid 90s to 2000 to where rock was in the late 50s through the 70s, it's so similar. I think that gets lost on a lot of people. They don't realize how, you know, how people were changing the culture. And something about bass drum hitting, you know, the strong drum and bass led hip hop vibe with the lyricism and the poetry that came from. I have a lot of different interests, and so I try to imbue all of that into my content. So I'm often described as a singer-songwriter, and I think that's an apt description. But certainly, speaking to like your typical singer-songwriter audience, it's more that I try to take my poetry, my lyricism, and put it through the lens of rock and hip-hop.
But the Christmas song has a nice ballad tone, so you kind of a balladeer as well?
Everything in moderation, right? Including moderation. Meaning sometimes you go, you could say this is my paradigm, but sometimes the exceptions are the best part, right? The exceptions to the rule sort of sometimes define it. And Don't Light the Lights on the Tree, that song sort of wrote itself. I was just the conduit. I was just the vehicle to bring that song to life. The best songs really are that way. They sort of write themselves.
Right.
And Don't Light the Lights on the Tree without me was absolutely one of those songs. As opposed to having something that would make people's head bop, it was really more of an effort to express the things that are important to me in the holiday season, what I think people should focus on, being with your family, the love and the time spent together is much more important than the, you know, what gifts you got, what presents are under the tree. And so when you're expressing that sort of vibe, you have to make sure that the music and the lyrics and the beat all sort of flow with that vibe, because you're not just telling the story with the words, you're telling the story with the music, you're telling the story with the melody, even the top line is the lyrics and the melody, just that basic thing that flows over the chord progression and the beat. That telling a story of family and togetherness and wholesomeness, well, then your chords got to go with that too, and then your drums got to sort of accentuate that and keep the song moving.
Now, let's go to some of your other songs that you've written. Which one would you say is the best expression of you?
Oh, man, it's so hard to say because I've really been through such an evolution. My deal with Warner in the first instance was actually doing dance music.
Okay.
And that's really what they were looking for. And I got teamed up with people that were, you know, titans in that industry. I mean, I'll be straight with you, like my regular playlists have some dance music, but that's not like my default position.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But that's where my opportunities were. So I took the opportunities and I made most of it. And then I used it to piggyback to go further into a direction that sort of made sense for me. So I would say songs like Seasons and Promise Me and some of my early work are very representative of where I was at that point. And then some of the later things like Take a Little Time and like really stuck with me and some of my releases that have just come out in 2021, they're sort of representative of my evolution and where I am now as an artist.
What's one of your favorite singles for 2021?
Ooh. Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, Really Stuck With Me is, I think, where it's at. Really Stuck With Me is sort of, it starts off and you feel like, oh, is this maybe like a southern rock song? Because it's just kind of like a guitar. Tell me something. When you went through school in Nigeria, did you have, during the lunch, everybody would sit and hit on the lunch table. That was my vibe. That was my jump off in school. I loved to try to freestyle lyrics over it, you know, even if my capacity was maybe somewhat limited compared to some of the real talents that I grew up with at that time. But that puts me in a place when I hear that beat, right? So just like I was talking about earlier with how, like, I try to combine rock and hip-hop, you have a rock sound with just, like, the guitar playing and the same sort of thing you'd hear, maybe even, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd or some of those old Southern rock groups of yesterday, and that's playing over that same beat that you would have heard on the lunchroom table. And then, after taking you through that, I bring you to a little bit of, like, 90s R&B sound. And then when you're like, well, where's the song going next? It breaks into a just straight reggae flow.
What?
And I do the reggae Bible. But yeah, so really stuck with me. Check it out. If you want to talk about something that encapsulates all of my vibes in one, that's like three songs in one. And okay, that's all Darren Stakey. That's what I'm about.
And doesn't it feel good to be independent and free to do it just the way you feel it?
Yeah, you said it, Nigeria. Not only does it feel good, but it also, it's your baby. Not only do you have, like, the autonomy and feel freedom, which also comes with, like, responsibility and stress, because if you don't make it happen, nobody else is going to.
Right.
But when it's all done and finished, that's your baby. Like, you went through labor of giving birth to it. You nurtured it. You watched it develop and had sort of a life of its own, and then you can stand back and marvel at, like, look at what I created. And then you can only hope that when you share it with the world, it can give meaning to them too. I've been lucky that I've gotten a lot of great feedback throughout my career of how my music has influenced, inspired other people. And that's really, that's my energy to keep going back and, you know, redouble my efforts and keep putting out more content and, you know, trying to speak to the people.
Man, that's excellent. So how can people get in touch with you? What's your social tags?
So I have another moniker. I have a stage name called Stakey. Mm-hmm. It's a play on my last name. Mm-hmm. My last name is Stakey.
Mm-hmm.
But my stage name is Stakey.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So Stakey Official, that's where you can find me on every platform. And then if you could check me out just looking up my name, Darren Stakey, D-A-R-R-E-N-S-T-A-K-E-Y. I'm everywhere.
Yeah. Now, are you looking for new artists or you're just the front man right now?
No, I'm always looking for new talents, and I have so many really exciting collaborations that are coming up in 2022. It's crazy how the time is flying since we hit COVID, right?
I know.
It was 2019 yesterday.
Right.
About to be 2022. Yeah, big collabo is coming up in 22. I would invite all the listeners to check out Wildwood Productions, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my label that will put you on. Obviously, I'm biased because I'm the CEO of the label, but nobody's doing what we're doing at this point.
Right.
And I'm absolutely looking for new artists, new producers, people that are hungry, that want to work and want to see their work shine.
Right. Well, if you need me as your A&R, you just call me and let me know.
You know I will.
Facts.
We're about to get it, my Jerry.
You already know. That's how key players play.
That's what's up. WKTS.
Facts. It's all good. We look forward for 2022. Again, you know, as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So we expect you back when you have those new releases. And I just want to say thank you.
Word. Thank you. Yeah. You know, we really have a thing because key, you can't make either of our names without key, right?
Right.
Stay key, where the key players speak.
Right.
It's been a pleasure. I'm telling you, there's overlap. We got to do something here.
We do.
But for real, thank you so much for having me. Thank you to your listeners for hearing me out. I am available to consult and to help any new artist that wants new advice, even if we don't work together. I have an open door, and I'm so excited about the things that are to come. I think that the world is our oyster. The world is yours, and we're about to take it over.
Yes, yes. I receive that and believe it. So thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Nigeria. And one, keep it up, Urban Buzz Magazine.
Yes.